Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma, Daf Nun Vav. We will get on Daf Nun Hey Amud Beis, four lines on bottom in Olam. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had discussed the situation where there were shofars, there were pushkas, and the Beis Hamikdash. And the Gemara had discussed that Rabbi Yehuda held that there was no pushka for kinei chayva. There was no pushka for bird pairs that one would have to bring if you're obligated to bring those birds. And the way we had learned at the end of the shiur, the reason Rabbi Yehuda did not allow for this was because Rabbi Yehuda was concerned that maybe the owner, not just maybe, if one of the owners of one of the money that was put there passed away, so we have now money that is chata shemesa b'lehel, because as we discussed extensively in our previous shiur, when one is obligated to bring a pair of birds, one of the birds is a chatos, and one of the birds is an oila. So now we have a real concern that the chatos bird owner had passed away, and there's a rule of that chatos shemesa balao, that if the owner of a karm chatos passes away before the karm chatos is actually brought, that karm chatos lemisa azla is put to death. And from our Gemara, it's quite clear that halacha applies not just by an animal chatas, but even by a bird chatas as well. So Gemara asked the question, if that indeed is what happened, why don't we just take out the value of the birds of this person who died and throw it out and then rely on Breira, which is a concept that we're about to begin learning, which says that we retroactively are able to designate what happened. So if we take out a packet of money, which represents the value of this pair of birds of this person who passed away, we'll retroactively, through Breira, be able to say that this was the birds of the person who passed away, and the rest of the money we could use for the people who are Baruch Hashem alive. So the Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda less le Breira. Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to the concept of Breira, and therefore this is not a great solution. So the Gemara begins now to discuss a sugya which comes often up often in Shas, and that is the sugya of Breira. Do we rely on Breira or not? And as I just said, that the definition of Breira is something which we cannot at this point designate, but retroactively we'll be able to designate what happened. We'll have examples in the shiur today. One is the example we just discussed, and we'll have other examples. That the halacha of Breira is not to be confused with the halacha of Tanai. Tanai is a concept that comes up often in Shas, where somebody does something based on a condition. And the Rishonim debate why by Breira, as we're going to see, there's a machlokes tanoim, if we say Breira, we don't say Breira. Whereas when it comes to Tanai, everybody agrees that we say it Tanai, that Tanai are effective. So Rashi's explanation is that the definition, the difference between a Tanai and Breira is Tanai is something that's in my control, in my hands to happen. So something which is in my hands to happen is in the category of a Tanai, which is halachically effective. A Breira, as is in our Gemara, the person died, and now I have to retroactively decide this money is his. That is not in our hand. People live or die, and that's why it's considered Breira. The Ramban has a different explanation. He says the definition of Tanai is that somebody makes a Tanai if this will happen or not. We often learn about Hilchus Tanoim and Hilchus Gittin. So Hilchus Gittin, somebody says, I'm going to divorce my wife if she walks out of this door. So it's either she will walk out or she won't walk out. And since it's a Tanai that is either yes or no, then it's going to be an effective Tanai. But in a Tanai or Breira, which it could be, as we're going to see where somebody puts down Erev Tchumim, and it could be to this direction or to that direction, that's Breira, which is the subject of today's shiur. The Arishonim that say that something which will ultimately certainly be discovered, there everybody agrees to Breira. Not all Rishonim agree to that. Certainly, in a situation, as we will have in Mitzvah Shem actually in today's shir, where it's not something that's going to happen, but I'm relying on Breira for something which already happened, there everybody agrees that we say Breira. There's a machloikis, when do we say Breira? How do we paskin in this shaila? So most Rishonim differentiate between a deraisa, where we say ein Breira, and by the Rabbanon we say yesh Breira. But there's a machloikis achroinim, how to understand that distinction. Some say that by deraisa we're machmer, sofk deraisa l'chumra, and by the Rabbanon we're mekel, sofk Rabbanon l'kula. If that's the explanation, so if saying Breira will create a chumra, so according to this explanation, by the Raisa, we should subscribe to Breira. And if saying Breira will create a chumra, by the Rabbanon, we should say Ein Breira, because we're only saying Breira by the Rabbanon because Sofik the Rabbanon Lakula. But there are other Rishonim who suggest that this concept that we differentiate between the Rais and the Rabbanon is not connected to the rule of Sofik the Rais L'Chumra and Sofik the Rabbanon L'Kula. Rather, the way to understand it is Chazal, the Rishonim, determined by the Rais we never say Breira, and by the Rabbanon we always say Breira. So as we started our shir, we have in our Gemara a question that if we rely on Breira, we would have ability to have a shofar, to have a pushka, even for the Kinei Chayv in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda holds Ein Breira. So the Gemara begins, Menolon. From where do we see Rabbi Yehuda does not agree with to Breira? Ilayim Mahadatam, maybe from the following Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Alekeich Yain Miben HaKutim. Somebody buys wine from the Kutim. So of course, the first question is, if you buy wine from the Kutim, you're not allowed to drink that wine. So we're going to discuss the issue of Trumas and Maestris in that wine. But there's a much more fundamental problem. The wine is not kosher. So Rashi says that this Mishnah is referring to before Chazal made the Gzeira on Yain Kutim. The Chazal did not yet make that Gzeira, and that's why the issue is not the kashrus of the wine. Moreover, some Rishonim say that here we're talking about wine from the Kutim, but the actual wine was made with a Hechsher. And since the wine was made with a Hechsher, the kashrus of the wine is not under consideration. Another pshat that I saw is that this Gemara may be going according to the opinion. Throughout Shas, there's a very big machloikis. If Kutim Gerei Emes, if their conversion was sincere, or if Kutim Gerei Arayis, or they weren't sincere, they only became Gerim because they were scared there was an invasion of animals in Etzisrael where they were living. This Gemara is going according to the Mandom, the Kutim Gerei Emes. If we hold Kutim Gerei Emes, we need not be concerned about the kashrus of the wine. We will need to be concerned, as Gemara is going to explain, about other factors. So, Rashi, this Gemara appears more than one place in Shas, says that our Gemara is referring specifically about the Kutim. Because the Kutim, explained Rashi, and Tosfos expands on this, were people, especially as we just explained, they might have been Gerei Emes, they might have been careful about taking off Trumas and Maestris. But they were only careful about taking Trumas and Maestris when they were going to eat or drink that produce themselves. When they were going to sell it to someone else or give it to someone else, there they weren't concerned about taking off Trumas and Maestris. And the reason is, because we know that the Torah says, Lifnei Ivel Leisita Michshol. And from Lifnei Ivel Leisita Michshol, we learn that one is not allowed to cause someone else to do an Aveira. So I'm not allowed to sell or certainly give something to another Jew that he may not eat. The Kutim define Lifnei Ivel Leisita Michshol as this simple definition, that you're not allowed to put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. If you have that definition of Lifnei Ivel Esit Mechshol. So then there's no problem giving somebody wine from which Trumas and Maisris were not removed. Whereas, if we were talking about Amaratzim, so throughout Shas we know that even though Chazal were concerned if Amaratzim do or don't properly take off Trumas and Maisris, it's a concern that's spoken about often in Shas. First of all, the Gemara says often they are careful to take off Truma. Furthermore, even Meiser, it's only a suffix if they took off. And all the discussion that we're having in our Gemara clearly doesn't speak about such a circumstance. So the Ha'adat Tanan, the Mishnah says, Aloy keich yayim ben akutim. If somebody buys wine from the Kutim, Erev Shabbos v'chashecha, it's Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashas. So since it's Erev Shabbos ben Hashmashas, so most Rishonim explain, ben Hashmashas, the halacha is that Trumas and Maisris may not be removed on Shabbos. So ben Hashmashas, we have to be machmer, it's ready like Shabbos, and therefore we have to come up with a solution. Others explain that's referring to a situation where if it was Bein HaShemashis alone, as the Mishnah just said, and we were able to take off Trumas and Maisris, maybe since it's only Bein HaShemashis, since the issue of taking off Trumas and Maisris is only an issue of Rabbanim, Chazal might have been lenient to allow you to do it the proper way. Here we're referring to a situation where they don't have any kalim tahirim. There are no vessels in which to put the trumas and maestros that are tahor. And Shabbos, the clock is ticking. And since the clock is ticking, they had to come up with a way to do this. There is, in fact, I saw Machlokes Rishonim, is when the Mishnah says here that this story that we're about to discuss of Erev Shabbos Mechashecha is it only if it took place Erev Shabbos and Chashecha, but if it took place early, if it took place on Shabbos, what the Mishnah is about to propose would not work, or would it? The Brice, the Mishnah, happens to be speaking about Erev Shabbos and Chashecha, but actually the same halacha says the Kafta of Aferech would apply, that the Rishonim that explained would apply even on Shabbos. So now we have to take off Trumas and Maisris, but we can't take them off in the traditional way. Says the Mishnah, what do you do? Oimid v'oimer, we're talking about 100 pounds, 100 lug of wine. Shnei lugim shani osu l'hafrish arayin Truma. Mid araisa, there is no shear to Truma. Chita achas, pateres is a kri. One kernel could take off, could be sufficient. However, Chazal gave shiurim, a 40th for a generous person, a 50th for a average person, and a 60th for a stingy person. So here we're assuming that the person is an average person. He takes off a 50th, which is 2 pounds. Asara, so the Rishonim asked, the Rashba already asks, that when you take off Truma, the Gemara says you have to have you have to be able to identify what's the truma. Here, it's not shira and the karim. So Rashi says that this Mishnah indeed is going to will not hold that you have to have shira and the karim. The Rashba says that since after Shabbos we will be able to identify which are the 2 lugim of truma. So even though right now when we're mafreshit, they aren't identifiable, since ultimately they will be identifiable, that's enough to make it be considered shira in the kaim. Asara maiserishin. And then we have the next 10 lugan will be maiserishin, which we, of course we know maiserishin has to be taken off every year. So there's a very big question. We started with 100 pounds, the Rishonim ask. We took off 100 lugan. We took off 2 lugan for truma, so down to 98. Maiserishin means that we have to take off 10%. But 10% of 98 is not 10. 10% of 98 is 9.8. So some Rishonim say that that's what the Mishnah really means. The Mishnah means 9.8. It just rounded off to 10. Other Rishonim say no. It is specifically 10. For they explain. We just said that midaraisa chita achas pateresis kri. One kernel is adequate. Yes, we decided to not rely on one kernel for the truma, to take off two lugim, a 50th for the truma. But we can't take off truma at the expense of the Levi who's supposed to get Maaser Rishon. So what it must mean here is that on one hand we take off two lugim to do the truma right, or designate two lugim for truma to do it right. On the other hand, we don't want to take away from the Levim what they deserve. And therefore, for the Levim, it's concerned as if there's still 100 lugim, and therefore their Maaser Rishon is 10 pounds. Tisha Maaser Sheni. So now we're down to 90, and it's a year of Maaser Sheni. The first and the second, the third and the fourth years of the Shemitah year cycle, you have to take Maaser Sheni. And Maaser Sheni, either you could take up to Yerushalayim, or you could redeem the value of the Maaser Sheni. You could redeem the value of the Maaser Sheni and take the money up to Yerushalayim and eat that in Yerushalayim. So the way Rashi explains that, since we certainly don't want to rely just on this designation that we're discussing here, so because we don't want to rely on the designation, what we should do is we have in this wine 10 lugim, 9 lugim of Maaser Sheni, we should transfer the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni onto the money. That's the way Rashi learns. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that it's impossible to do this on Shabbos. And because Tosfos says it's impossible to do this on Shabbos, Tosfos defines the word mechal, means that you could drink it immediately, and after Shabbos, you'll take off the 9 lugim of wine as Maaser Sheni, v'shoyse miyad, and then you could drink the wine that's left over, divrei Rameya. In other words, according to Rameya, we can rely on Breira, that even though right now we have not designated any of the wine, we have not actually separated any of the wine, the actual separation is only going to take place after Shabbos. We can rely on Breira to tell us that we retroactively know that this, what we'll take at Motzei Shabbos, the Truma, the Maaser Rishon, the Maaser Sheni, are all retroactively effective. So the question is, why is there no concern of blius, that the blia of the Maaser of the Truma, the Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni, is going into what I drink? So the Mefarshim explained that we're referring here to a situation of that it's cold, and it's cold liquid. By cold liquid, we don't have to worry about the blias of tam. Another pshat that I saw the Achronim suggest, that even though the halacha is willing to rely on Breira, as we're learning now, Breira cannot say that something that actually has not yet happened has happened. It's satisfactory for the halacha, but it's not satisfactory to make as if it actually happened. And since it's not satisfactory to make as if it should actually happen, we don't have to worry about blius. But says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Oisrim, obviously, what is the reason? Because obviously, they are of the opinion, ein breira. So we started the shir with saying that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold a breira. This is the raya that they don't hold a breira. Says the Maramai, why are you saying that this is a clear proof that they don't subscribe to breira? Dilma Shani Hasam, maybe the situation over there is different. Kediktani Tama, Lremeya, like Rameya, Kediktani Tama, as the Mishnah over there says, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Shimon, said to Rameya, Yatem Moida, Shemi Yiboka Noit. There's a new concern. Why are you not concerned there that the barrel in which you have all this wine will break? And if the barrel that you have here will break, you will not be able to rely on a retroactive designation. The Nimtza, and if that were to happen, Nimtza Shaisit Falam Afreya. It turns out that the wine that you drank was Tevel. Amalhem and Rameya responded, L'chshibaka. I'll worry about it when it happens. I don't have to worry about something that is unlikely to happen. And moreover, as the Rishonim explained Rameya's opinion, you could do something. You could take a guard. You could do whatever you can to prevent it from happening. And therefore, he's not concerned. But what we see from here is that we don't need to say that the reason Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with this approach is because he holds Ein Breira. Actually, it very much is possible that this Mishnah that we just learned has nothing to do with the issue of Breira. It has to do with the issue, do we have to worry about the barrel breaking or not? So the Gemara brings a different raya that Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira. And that's based on the halacha of Erev Truman. As we learned, Mesechta Ervin, on the halacha is on Shabbos, one may not walk more than 2,000 amma. Of course, we're not going to go into all the details of this halacha in this shir, but one may not walk more than 2,000 amma from the place that he has, that is his residence for Shabbos, where he was Bein HaShemoshes. However, we learned in Mesechta Ervin that Chazal gave us a way to be able to walk more, and that is by putting down an Erev Tchumim. So if I'm in this spot and I want to walk to the east, so I put down an Erev Tchumim before Shabbos, 2,000 amas from where I am at the beginning of Shabbos, I'm putting that Erev Tchumim over there, putting down the Erev Tchumim has to consist of the food, that enough food you need for two meals. That makes that this is my place of residence for Shabbos, and I could walk 2,000 amas past the Erev Tchumim. Of course, there are two very important conditions. The most important condition is that, yes, we've gained, this individual has gained 2,000 amas in one direction, but now he can't walk even one amma in the other direction. Furthermore, as we learned in Masechta Ervin, one can only rely on an Erev Tchumim but makom mitzvah, when it's a situation of a mitzvah. Otherwise, just to rely on Erev Tchum that I want to take a walk in this direction and I don't care about the other direction is not enough of a good reason to rely on Erev Tchum. So, our Gemara begins with a braisa that we learned in Masechet Ervin, taught by Ayoy. Ayoy taught us a braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Adam Masna Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. A person is kind of shvis. A person has this place of residence as Shabbos begins, and he has his Rebbe coming in one of the directions, east or west, on Shabbos, and his Rebbe is going to say a shir. He wants to go hear the shir, and he doesn't know, however, if his Rebbe is going to be coming to the east side or to the west side. So what he does is, they puts down two Ervin, and one to the east side, and one to the west side, and says, when I find out on Shabbos from which direction, to which direction I have to walk to get to my Rebbe, that should be the Erev that's effective, and the other Erev should be meaningless, which is a perfect example of Breira, of retroactive designation, because the moment that the Erev has to be effective is at Bein HaShemoshes. And here he wants to rely on this retroactive designation. So this person says, in Bar Chacham HaMizrach, and my Rebbe is going to come to the east side, a Ruvil HaMizrach. So the Mizrach, the Erev to the east side should be the effective Erev. And Lamariv, if my Rebbe ends up coming to the west side, a Ruvil LaMariv. Avil Lakan, Lakan Loi. What you could say is, I wanted the east side, the west side, but you can't have both. Vavayba. And in understanding that Bryce, we try to understand Mashnal Kanal Kandaloi. Why, if you put down two Erevin and says, let me decide on Shabbos on which Erev I want to rely, I can't, that's not effective. Because the halacha is Ein Breira. So a Mizrach HaMarev Ein Breira. So why did the Mishnah say that, Bryce say that if I put it to one side or to the other side and say, if my Rebbe comes to that side, it's good. If not, not. Why? Says the Gemara, it's not that I want to decide on Shabbos that it should be retroactively good. Rabbi Yehuda holds that retroactively it's never going to work. The reason it works retroactively is because that's the case where the Rebbe came already to one side from before Shabbos. I just didn't know to which side he came. So when I put down the Erev to one side before Shabbos, and then I discover that the Rebbe came to that side, the halacha is that it's that the Erev is an effect, that Erev is effective. But if I want to only rely that the Rebbe is going to come on Shabbos, and at that point the Erev should be a valid Erev, there that depends on Breira. That I'm only going to decide on Shabbos that's going to be an effective Erev. And in that case, we don't rely on Breira. But we see who is the Tana that did not subscribe to Breira. It was Rabbi Yehuda. So we see Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira. There's a discussion here in Rashi and the Rishonim. How could it possibly be that the Rebbe and I should be close enough where the Rebbe could come to Mizrach HaMayriv? The Rebbe also can't walk more than 2,000 Amma. So Rashi, without going into great length detail, Rashi says that the Rebbe is walking on a slant, and therefore he could possibly come to the east side and the west side, but I, who am in the city, do not have that option. Continues the Gemara. V'ashta demrinan. So now we began the sugya by trying to understand the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda and our Mishnah, going back to our Mishnah, said that there was only one base to put dam on. And the reason Rabbi Yehuda said there was only one base to put dam on, because we don't want to get confused. We don't want to get confused that the kohen with the dam of par and the dam of soyer. And the Gemara wanted to bring a raya. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't rely on signage. Rabbi Yehuda does not rely on ksiva to help you know what's what. From the Mishnah in Masechet Shkalim about the shofars in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why he didn't have a shofar for the Kinei Chayva, because he didn't want to rely on a sign. But now we've learned that the reason he didn't do it, he didn't have a pushka for the Kinei Chayva, is because he holds Ein Breira. So says the Gemara, what does that mean? V'hashta demrina, Rabbi Yehuda Ein Breira. Rabbi Yehuda the reason Rabbi Yehuda did not put a sign on the pushka is because he doesn't hold Breira. Haksiva Islay. But he does agree that you could put a sign. So the question is, Yom Kippurim, so going back to our Mishnah, Nami Navatrei, why does Rabbi Yehuda agree that we could have two places to put the dam? We're concerned that they're going to get mixed up. Says the Gemara, V'nechta V'layu, why don't we just make a sign that on one is the spar and one is the sor? Answers the Gemara, Mishum Chosh Dekayin God Lavadate. Usually, Rabbi Yehuda indeed would agree that we could rely on a sign. But here, since the Kohen Gadol may be an elderly individual, and he's weak from doing all of the extenuous voida on Yom Kippur, he may not be able to pay attention, and that's why we can't rely on the signs. Dilei Tema Hachi, and the Gemara proves that the Chosh of the Kohen Gadol is what we need to be concerned about. Dilei Tema Hachi, but like Ksiva Navami, we don't have to have any Ksiva, and we could still have an adequate way of knowing which is the par and which is the sar. Hainam fish, v'hai zoter. There's a lot more blood from a bull than there is from a goat. So we'll obviously know which is which. V'chi tema, if you're going to say, maybe that isn't a good way of determining, because maybe lemakabali kule, maybe you're not going to get all the blood, and you're going to have the, and if you'll have the equal amount of blood of the par as you have the sor, even though you start with all the blood, and I sort of see Yitzchak explains why did the Gemara assume that might be the case. So the Siach Yitzchak says, when we learned in our Masechta about the Kohen Gadol shechting the Karman Tamid Yom Kippur in the morning, we learned that he starts the Shechita, but there was somebody else who did the Marika. There was somebody else who completed the Shechita. So there we see by the Karman Tamid that they were careful to get all the blood. But when we learned about the Shechita of the par, we did not learn that there was Marika through someone else. And when we learned that halacha, we actually discussed, what does that mean? Does it mean that the Kohen Gadol did all of the Shechita, or does it mean it's self-understood that just like by the Karman Tamid, there was Marika through someone else, so too by the par, there was Marika by somebody else. But what's relevant to us is that there was Marika. And since it's relevant that the Gemara at this point assumes they did not necessarily get all the dam. So therefore, that wouldn't be a good way of being able to determine. But says the Gemara, that's not true. Because V'hamar of Yehuda, Hashoichit, that when you shecht the par of Yom Kippur, Sorach Shikabel as Kol Dama Par, Kol Dama Shapar, you have to get all the blood. Shnemar, this Kol Dama Par, Yishbarach, El Yisoyim is Be'echal Oilo. V'chi Teima, so that should be the way for the Kohen Gadol to be able to tell which is the par and which is the sor. So even why isn't that a good way for a Yehuda to rely? V'chi Teima Dama Mishtapich Menei, maybe it'll be some of the par blood. Of course, you're supposed to try to get all the par blood, but maybe some of it's spilled. And as we're going to learn the Mitzvah Shem in our coming shir, the fact that some of the blood is missing doesn't disqualify the avoda. So some of the blood spilled out, and now I have equal amount of blood. So that isn't the way to be able to tell which is the par and the sor. So the mother, still another way to tell. Dama sor is chiver is lighter. It isn't so red. V'hai sumet. And the blood of a par has a deeper red color. So that's the way we could tell. So why can't Rabbi Yehuda allow us to have two canes? Why can't he allow us to have two bases? Says the Gemara, the concern is, Mishum chol shedekayin gadol lavadatei. The entire concern here is that the kohen gadol is weak. And what would normally be an easy way to make a determination on Yom Kippur is not a good way to make a determination. Says the Gemara, so if that's what we're going to say, so when it comes to Ksiva as well, Mishum chol shedekayin gadol, because the kohen gadol is so weak, he won't be able to see. So I saw that there are mefarshim that say, a person could be old, a person could be weak, but a person could still read. So why are we so concerned that Mishum chol shedekayin gadol, he wouldn't be able even to read signs that one says par and one says soil? So I saw the Rishonim explain, the Mefarshim explain, that what the Gemara doesn't mean to say that he's so weak he can't read. But the Chosh Tekayin Gadol means the Yetzahara. One of the concepts that comes up often in this Masechta is that that the Yetzahara really tried to concentrate on the Kohen Gadol not to do the Avodah properly. That was something that he put a lot of effort into. So Chosh the Kohen Gadol is not talking about the Kohen Gadol's physical weakness. Chosh the Kohen Gadol means that the Yetzirah is going to try to get the Kohen Gadol not to do it the right way. So our Gemara, Lemaskana, says that we can rely on signage. And that's why the Paiskim say that we know we have the Tefillin Shayad and Tefillin Shiroish that we put on every morning. And we know we're supposed to put on the Tefillin Shayad first, and then the Tefillin Shorosh. We spoke about this earlier in our Masechta. So the Paiskim say, as long as the boxes in which we put on the Tefillin are clearly marked, which is Shalyan and which is Shorosh, that is good enough to rely on, and we don't have to make any other simon to know which is the Tefillin Shayad and Tefillin Shorosh. Similarly, there's a tshuva in the Shas Tshuvas Marsham, Chelek Vav Simon Kuf Hei, that discusses that in a shul, there are a number of pushkas for different stakas. And everybody who's giving staka has their specific staka to which they want to contribute. Says the Marsham, if the pushkas in which they put the money for staka are clearly marked, which is for which staka, that's good enough. And all the pushkas could be kept together if there's proper wording on them indicating which is which. Says the Gemara, Huda Nachas Kamei D'Rava. As is quite clear from this Gemara, and we know we do this till this very day, a very important part of the Tefillas of Yom Kippur is the Avoida, saying the Avoida, repeating how the Avoida was performed on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, there are very many different minhagim around the saying of the Avoida. Our minig is, as the Taz says in Or Chaim Simen Tuf Reish Chof Aleph Sifkaten Beis, our meaning is to say the Avoida by Musaf. Because that was the time of the day, says the Taz, when most of the Avoida that's spoken about in the Avoida was done. However, there are those that have a minig that they used to say the Avoida by Shachris and by Musaf and by Mincha. And there were a few reasons I saw for that minig. One minig is because not all of the avodah that was conducted on Yom Kippur was only done during the Musaf time. As we've learned in this Masechta, the avodah of the Kohen Gadol began right into the beginning of the day. And therefore, they suggest that it should be already recited by Shacharis. And as we're going to learn further in our Masechta, part of the avodah was done after Musaf by Mincha. And that's why the avodah, according to those customs, is said not just by Shacharis, not just by Musaf, but it's also said by Shacharis and by Mincha. Not only is that a difference of opinion, but there are different nuschos, the different versions of the avodah. The minig in Ashkenaz is to say the avodah that starts with Amitz Koyach, and the minig of the Sfardim is to say the avodah of Atokananta. It's interesting to point out that even in the Ashkenaz Machzorim, they'll have the nusach of the avodah of Atokananta, and so too vice versa. Because as the Mefarshim explain, each one of these avodahs have, each one of the versions of avodah have interesting, have different characteristics. Atokananta is easier to understand. Amitz Koyach is much richer in using the words of the Mishnayos and the Gemaras that we learned. And that's why both versions are printed in the Machzorim. Moreover, these versions were composed by Rishonim. And because they were composed by Rishonim, the many halachas that we discuss in this Masechta, of course, are referred to in the different nuschos, but not just many different halachas, many of the halachas that we learned in this Masechta are referenced there. Some of the questions that we have and how to understand different Mishnayos and Gemaras that we learn in our Masechta when we speak about the Avodah can be figured out by the different versions of the Avodah. So says the Gemara, Ha'ud Nachs Kamei de Rava, there was the Shliach Tzibur in front of Rava who was going to say the Avodah, Omar, and he said in the Seder of the Avodah that the Kohen Gadol, Yotza, he went out of the base Kotche Kotchim, Ve'nichoy Alkan Sheni Shebehechel, and he put the dam of the soil on the second can, notl dam a par, and then he took the blood of the par, v'nichoy dam a sor. And then he put on the can, which he took the dam a par from, he put on it the dam a sor. So he said, Amalei Sarova, when he heard him saying this, said, what you said doesn't make sense halachically. Because first you said, like the Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan say there were two bases, and that's why you said there was, when he came out with the dam of the sawyer from the Kotche Kotchim, he put it down on its base. Then you said, like Rabbi Yehuda, that he took off the par blood and put the sawyer blood where the par blood was, obviously like Rabbi Yehuda who held there was only one base. You can't say a sentence that's self-contradictory that is following either, you can't hold like Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. Said Eima, what the right way to do is, Hiniach Damasor, put down the Damasor on its base, and after you put down the Damasor on its base, then pick up the Damapar, which clearly follows the opinion of the Chachamim who we paskin like. So we learned now about having two things to deal with, and what do you do when you have to deal with two things? This is relevant, la'aloch l'maisa, on any day when we read from two Sefer Torah, Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, Yontif, other situation. So the halacha is that the first Sefer, the Ramah Paskins, that the first Sefer Torah should not be removed from the Bima after you complete reading in it until you put down the second Sefer Torah first. Because there's a rule, says the Ramah, Shlei Ponim in a mitzvah. One should never be left without any mitzvah. So if we're going to take off the Sefer Torah from the Bima before we put down the second Sefer Torah, the Bima wouldn't have any Sefer Torah on it. Ask the Magen Avraham from the Rabbanan in our Mishnah. What did they say? They said that first we put down the blood of both of them on the different kanim, and then take off the par blood. Shouldn't we first take, so what should we do? Should we first put down the sour blood, or should we first take the par blood? According to Ramah, we should first take the par blood, that we should not be left without doing in a mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham says, we can't bring a raya from the Ramah's psak by Sefer Torah to the Avodah in Beis HaMikdash. Because in the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, the halacha is that everything has to be done, as we've learned, only with the right hand. Since everything must be done only with the right hand, what the Kohen Gadol has to do is first free up his right hand that has in it the Dam HaSoir. And therefore, we should put down the Dam HaSoir, and only after we put down the Dam HaSoir, we could pick up the Dam HaPar, because everything is done with the right hand. But we don't have such a, but that isn't relevant to our situation with the Sefer Torah. The Prima Gadim has a different way of differentiating between the halacha by the Sifrei Torah and the halacha by the blood on Yom Kippur. Says the Prima Gadim, when we have these two bloods, the Dam HaPar and the Dam HaSar, the Rabbanan say, first put down the blood of the Sar before you take the Dam of the Par, because we don't want to embarrass that Dam HaSar, that we brought it now into the Kodesh. Ultimately, that Dam is also going to have to be sprinkled on the Parichas, but we're not doing that, we're first going to the Dam HaPar. However, in the case of the two Sifrei Torah, the two Sifrei Torah are the same. The whole issue, therefore, since the two Sifrei Torah are the same, and there's no issue of embarrassment there, so that's where the halacha is, there's no concern that the first Sifrei Torah is going to be disgraced, and we put the second Sifrei Torah on the bima before we do anything with it, and therefore, since we don't want the bima to be left without any Sifrei Torah on it, first put down the second Sefer Torah, and then pick up the first Sefer Torah. It's also important to point out that when we speak about this halacha, the Paiskim say that we have to be very careful with the Sefer Torah that we're not reading from. The Sefer Torah that we're not reading from, we should be careful that have it not just lay down, put it down on a table, on a bench. It has to be treated with great respect, and it should be given to somebody to hold. And in fact, there's a tshuva in the Michas Yitzchak, Chelik Beis, Simon Kuf Yud Zayin. He says, he quotes the Shara Frayim. He says that many times in shul, so a person got a tzavach nasa, and he got the privilege of taking out the second Sefer Torah, which is not going to be used during the entire Kriyas HaTorah. And what they do is they don't want to have to sit and hold the Sefer Torah. So they ask a young boy to hold the Sefer Torah. So Michas Yitzchak, quoting the Shara Frayim, says that it's an embarrassment to the Sefer Torah. It's an embarrassment, as if you can't be bothered holding the Sefer Torah. You find a young boy who you could force to do it. We have to treat Sefer Torah with the great respect that they deserve. The Chidah says there was actually a minig that they had a special chair which was never used all year round. The only time that chair, says the Chidah, was used was when we had two Sefer Torah to put the Sefer Torah that we weren't reading from yet on that chair. But otherwise, of course, we have to be very careful with showing proper respect to Sefer Torah that we know is what our whole lives are about.